Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Zayin. We begin the beautiful fifth parak, and we begin the very top of the Yomud with the Mishnah. Hotziu lo es hakaf v'es hamachto. We continue in the avod of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Previously, we had gotten up to the point where the Kohen Gadol had gone up on top of the Mizbeach and had taken with the machto, with the special shovel the Kohen Gadol used. He used the golden shovel on Yom Kippur. Everybody else normally, when they filled up the coals to burn the incense on the inner Mizbeach for the morning and afternoon, regular Haktaras Haktaras, they filled it up with a shovel that was made of silver, and then they poured it into a golden shovel. But here the Kohen Gadol had filled it up with a golden shovel. He had the 3 kavins worth of coals in this shovel, and he had placed it down to stand with a cover on it. That was one of the definitions in the Ashtik that we had, so it would stay hot and wouldn't burn him. And he now went and got the ketores. So this is now telling us that they brought hotziu lo es hakaf. They brought him a spoon, a big ladle called a kaf, v'samachta, and a different shovel. This isn't the shovel that he had beforehand. We'll see why it's called a shovel in a second, if it really wasn't being used to shovel. And chofan melo chofnov, he took this shovel full of incense, that's what was in this, not coals, and he scooped his hands into it, as the pasuk tells us, it has to be melo chofnov ketores, and he then placed this melo chofnov of ketores into the kaf. So chofan melo chofnov v'nosan l'soch hakaf. To understand again what we're doing here is, we can't go inside to the Beis HaMikdash lifnai v'lifnim, containing a container that just has incense, and just put it on the coals inside lifnai v'lifnim and be yotzi the mitzvah of the ketores that is brought lifnai v'lifnim. But it has to be in the hands of the Kohen Gadol, and we'll see, there will be machlokis later on, how many times it went into his hands. Clearly, he had to go and scoop it up into his hands the first time, and then put it into this kaf. And then he carried the kaf, because it would be very difficult otherwise, as the Gemara will explain, to get the ketores inside lifnai v'lifnim if he didn't have both of his hands free to carry the shovel with the coals and the kaf. So therefore, he needed both of his hands, and he couldn't just keep his hands filled with ketores. So therefore, he now took the ketores, which the Beis Aftinus had put into this machta, this shovel, and he scooped it out from there with his hands, melo chofnov, and put it into the kaf. And now, he would go and take this kaf and the other shovel, which had the hot coals inside of it, and bring those eventually inside lifnai v'lifnim to do the haktaras haktaras. Now, this process of where he takes melo chofnov is called chafina. He goes and fills up his handful with this ketores. Now, what about the different hands of different kohanim? So it doesn't make any difference. There's no set amount. It's not like a kezayis or a kibetza. Hagodol lefi godlo, a large-sized kohen, one who has large hands, so he's going to have more of the ketores in his hands. His melo chofnov is larger. A smaller kohen, v'akotun lefi kotno, has a smaller amount. As long as it's melo chofnov for that individual kohen, that is the shear. There isn't an absolute objective shear. It's a subjective shear depending upon the size of the hands of the kohen gadol. Furthermore, v'kach ha'iso midosa, and this was the correct amount. The Gemara will explain what exactly this is coming to be mechadish to tell us v'kach ha'iso midosa. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, "Notalas hamachto b'yemino." Now he goes and takes. Here we're not talking about the same machta that we had a minute ago. We're switching off, talking about different machtas in this Mishnah, so it could be confusing. So the first machta that we had again was a shovel. We'll still have to explain in a moment why it was called a machta. That was a shovel containing ketores. The second machta, now that he goes to Notalas HaMachta, this is the one that he had previously scooped off from the special pyre that was on top of the Mizbeach for Yom Kippur. All three opinions that said there was a special pyre for Yom Kippur that you took the coals from, and that was placed into this machta. So now he goes and take this machta, b'yemino, with his right hand. Now, this the Gemara is going to question, why does he take this in his right hand? This is the less important. Besakaf bismolo, he takes the incense that's in the ladle in his left hand. The incense is the more important one. Gemara will ask, why doesn't he take the incense in his right hand? In other words, put the kaf in his right hand, not in his left hand, and put the macht in his left hand instead of not tell us a macht to be a mino. So this will all be explained. But first, let's understand why this is called a shovel. After all, it's not really a shovel. It is a container that's used to hold the ketores. So why is it called a shovel? So normally, the machta, which we took the coals off of, that's based upon Psukim and Mishle, where it says, and Yeshaya, where it says, Shekol Shivas Gecholim in Eish Nikur Chasiya. So that's called the machta, which you shoveled off the coals from it. So that's why the regular shovel is called the shovel. So the Achronim say, why is this container that has the Ketoris in it, it wasn't shoveled up, why is this called the machta? So brings down in the Chidushe Rav Moshe Mirman, and he writes, you know what? This shovel was actually the shovel that they used the rest of the year to shovel the coals. And they used it now for putting in the incense. That's one teretz. Alternatively, Odiyei Shlomar, another teretz is that the Kohen Gadol over here would use his hands to shovel in the ketores into his hands. So therefore, it's also called appropriately shoveling, a machta. In fact, however, the Yerushalmi doesn't call it a machta. The Yerushalmi calls it a bazach, like we have for the Lavona, ishnei bezichah. So that ladle is called a bazach. So to avir, the Rambam doesn't call it a machta. He says, kli, malay ketores, a kli that is filled with ketores. And it brings down as well in the Sefer Har Moriah, the Mehai Taima Hu She'en Klizeh Nikra Machta. He says that's why he doesn't call it a machta, because it's not really a shovel. Okay, in any event, our Mishnah does call it a shovel, and we have understood why we called it a shovel and what its purpose was. It was different than the other shovel that he filled up the coals to eventually burn this incense that he had now from the shovel, the second shovel here, into the kaf, and that he'll bring Lifnai Vilifnim. Now go to the Gemara. The Gemara really discusses a little bit of what I just said. Machto Tonile, in regards to this shovel, we already said, not tell us a machto, we all the Rosh HaMizbeach, v'chos v'yored. The Gemara is really asking, but we already have the machto being used, why are we going to bring him the machto again? Hotzilos HaKafis HaMachto. Because the Gemara is obviously asking the question that I've already asked and answered. So that machta that we had previously had coals in it. So what are you talking about here, that this machta has incense in it? So what says the two machtas? Hoso machta de gecholim, the first machta we had in the previous perek, that the Kohen Gadol went up to the top of his mizbeach, to the special pyre for Yom Kippur, and took off coals from there. So that was the machta de gecholim. But here, v'hocha, it's a different machta, machta de ketores. The Tanya, as we learned in the Brayse, it says beferish, hotziu lo kaf reikon milishkas hakelim. They took out an empty container, this kaf, from the Lishkas HaKelim. There was a special Lishka that was in the Azara, that they had all the Kelim that they would need. And they took out this kaf reikon from that Lishkas HaKelim. And they also took umachto gedusha shel ketores. They took a shovel that was filled with ketores from the Lishkas Beis Avtinas. We had heard earlier in the first parak that the Lishkas Beis Avtinas was the place where they made the ketores. The family of Avtinas, they were in charge of making the ketores. We had discussed their families doing so. They were the ones that had the rights to this, and the only ones that knew how to do this properly, to have the Mali Oshon herb inside of it. The others didn't know exactly what the Mali Oshon was. So the Beis Avtinas, they brought out this shovel that was filled with ketores for the Kohen Gadol to do the chafina, to stick his hands into it and bring out Malochov, the both of his hands filled, which we'll discuss a little bit later in today's shir, with the ketores. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Chofan melo chofnov. He goes and the Kohen Gadol sticks his hands into this shovel and he fills them up with the ketores. The nosi lesoch hakaf hagadol lefi gadlo vakotin lefi kotno. And each size Kohen, depending whether it's a large Kohen, large hands, or small Kohen, small hands, so he would fill up melo chofnov, both his hands full, with this ketores, and then place it inside this empty kaf that was brought out from the Lishkas HaKelim. And v'kachay samidosa, and it says this was the midah, this was the right amount for the melo chofnov. Mora says kaf biyom kippur lomeli. Why do we need a kaf? What's the purpose of having a kaf? Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol just fill up melo chofnov and bring it inside lifnai v'lifnim and pour it on the coals? So Gemara says, the pasuk tells us, I read you the whole pasuk, the Gemara just quotes part of the pasuk, melo chofnov v'hevi omer achmona, so I read you the whole pasuk, and we've already dashed in the first part of this pasuk in the previous parak. It says, v'lokach melo hamachto gach aliyesh me'alam mizbeach m'lifnei Hashem, the Kohen Gadol had to go and fill up from the special pyre that was on top of the mizbeach, the gecholim, the coals, in order to go and bring them, Me'ala Mizbeach Lefnei Hashem, which we said was from the western side of the Mizbeach. It didn't have to be Davka Lefnei Hashem. It could be anywhere along the western side. Remember that drush that we had previously, why we needed both, Me'ala Mizbeach Lefnei Hashem. And then it tells us, And here's the part that we're interested in now. He also brings inside Lifnai V'Lifnim, besides these coals, Umalol Chofnov Kitore Samim Daka. He goes and brings inside the double handful, both his right and left hands, filled up with the Kitore Samim, which we said was Daka. Remember, we darshaned that previously, that it was Daka Min Adaka, because we already knew that it was supposed to be Daka on a daily basis. So this is extra word Daka, said it has to be especially reground again on Erev Yom Kippur. And here's the part that we're interested in right now. Vehivi mibeis laparoches. And one time he goes inside mibeis laparoches. One time he goes lefnai v'lefnim, carrying both the coals and the incense. So that's what the Gemara tells us over here. Mishum de lo evsha. Why does he need a kaf? Doesn't mention a kaf in the pasuk, but there's no alternative. There's no other way to go in. How's he supposed to get inside carrying the coals and the incense with one trip? And therefore, Mishum Dilo Efshar, there's no other way to go inside there without having a cup, a ladle, that he can go put the Meloch Chofnav in and then re-pour it back into his hands afterwards, at least according to one man the Omer. Mishum Dilo Efshar, there's no other way to do this. What's the poor Kohen Gadol supposed to do? Na'ayil, is he supposed to go in there carrying the Machta with the coals? And then Vahadur Na'ayil, and then go in afterwards and carry the incense Meloch Chofnav, right? Because he has to go in there Meloch Chofnav without a kaf, so then he can't go in there first with the Meloch Chofnav, because there's no incense there. So he first brings in the incense, then he comes back out and goes and brings in the Meloch Chofnav and then pours it right onto the coals that are there, but that's going in twice. And the Torah says, Havoa Achas on Rachmona. It said, Vevi Mibeis Laparoches. It doesn't say Vevi, it doesn't say twice, it says just once. Havoa Achas on Rachmona Vlo Shnei Avos. So therefore, that can't be the process. So therefore, that is not going to allow him to go and bring in the Meloch Chofnav directly. Nonushkele Liktoris B'Chofnav. So let him hold the Ktoris in his both hands full. The Nachte Lamachta Alo V'Leyo. And let him somehow hold the shovel on top of his hands filled with the Ktoris. That's a very difficult thing to do. The Bach has a slightly different gears. He says, Nishkele Liktoris B'Chofnav. Hold a handful's worth of the Ktoris. The Nachte Lamachta the Gecholim, and take the shovel of the Gecholim, ilave, on top of his hands, v'le'ayil, and go inside then. So the Gemara says, kimati hosom, hechilavit. What's he supposed to do now? How is he supposed to put the shovel down, take out the incense and the shovel, still holding the Meloch Chofnav in his hands? Hechilavit. How is he supposed to do this? Nishkele b'shine, should he go and take the shovel off his hands with his teeth, grab it with his mouth, v'nachti l'machta, and put it down on the ground, so that the incense now can be poured onto the coals? Hashta lifnei melech bosi v'dom eino osikein lifnei melech b'alchei avoch b'kosh baruch halachas v'kama. Would you think it proper to do such a service in front of an earthly king? You're going to bring a gift to the king. You're going to bring a gift to the president. And you're going to put it in your mouth? And you're going to hold on with your hands with something else? And this is going to be in your mouth? It's pastish. It's terrible. That's not a b'chavadik way to do this. So therefore, you have no choice. Hilkach lo efsha. And therefore, the kibud lo efshar, since you don't have any other choice, abdinon ki the ashlachon b'nesiim. So therefore, we look for another source of how to do this, and we find by the nesiim that it was able to be done this way, as the pasuk tells us. We just read it in last week's parsha, Parshas Noso. It says, asara kafachas asara zahav b'leoch ketores. So therefore, they carried in their ketores in a kaf. So too, just like the Nesiim carried in their Ketores in a calf, so too the Kohen Gadol carries in the Ketores in a calf. And that's why he holds the calf in his left hand, he holds the coals in his right hands. We still have to explain why not the other way around, which we'll explain in a moment, but that is how he physically can only go in there one time and do it in a b'chavadik way. Now the Nezer HaKodesh asks, why do we need a raya from the Nesiim? He says, Yesh das hasoveris, because there's a potential that you might have thought that lekicha ayde dover acher eno nechsheves lekicha. This is machlokas in the Gemara in Sukkah, where actually one opinion says that unless you do it with your hands, you're not yotzei. So one might have thought that if you were to go and bring in the incense in a kaf, you're actually not yotzei. And therefore, the only way you can do it is by doing the shovel in your mouth. Okay, it's not b'chavadik, but there is no choice. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So you might have thought that you have to put the shovel in your mouth and deposit it down that way, and while you're holding the Meloch Chofnav in your hands. According to this opinion in Sukkah, there is no alternative other than doing it this way. Because you would not be yotzei the obligation to bring in Meloch Chofnav with a kli. However, he says, according to this opinion, that's why the Gemara says you need a raya from the Nesiim. Even according to this opinion, that you need to do it with lakach melo chofnav, but here it tells us that just like by the nesim it was allowed, that's derech hakavod, and therefore over here too it is allowed. That's what the Nezer HaKodesh explains. Now the Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, "No talas hamach to biyomin." He takes the coals, he puts them in his right hand, v'sakaf v'smol, and he takes the kaf, which is filled with the incense from the melo chofnav, that he poured into this empty kaf with his left hand. Gemara says, that's backwards. And to use an interesting expression, yetziva, that means the citizen, is ba'ara, on the ground, he's in a lower position. Vigyura, and the stranger, the guest, bishmei shmaya, he's in the higher position. In other words, which of these two is more important? Is the incense more important, or the coals more important? So obviously the incense, that's the critical factor over here. So the incense should be held in the right hand. Whenever you have something that has to be done, you make a bracha, you're supposed to hold the cup in your right hand. You do something, you do it with your right hand. So too, the ikker part of the haktoris, haktoris, lefnai v'lefnim, is the ktoris. So therefore, one would have said that the ktoris should be in your right hand, and the shovel should be in your left hand with the coals. How come it's the other way around? So the Gemara says, Zu meruba v'zu muetes, because for a typical Kohen, except we'll see very, very, very large-handed Kohens, so then the Melo Chofnav is going to be a much smaller amount than the three kavin worth of coals. If you're a huge Kohen, as we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis was able to hold four kavin Melo Chofnav, so then it's a larger amount. But for the average Kohen, the larger amount is going to be the coals. And therefore, you need your right, stronger hand carrying the heavier coals, and therefore it's acceptable in this situation to have your left hand carrying the more important thing because you need the stronger right hand to do the heavier lifting. And he says, "Va'afilu b'sman sheshteim shavim," and even if they were to be exactly the same, the Tosfos Rishonim points out that it's not exactly the same from the example we're going to give. It's going to be 4 versus 3, but it lo dok. The Gemara is not being careful over here. It's just giving an example of even if the ladle is going to have a larger amount than the shovel, nevertheless, we still do it this way, low plug. We don't make any exceptions. Like the case of the great Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, we'll learn a little bit more about him and his mother, Kimchis. His mother is Kimchis, not his father. And we'll see his mother was a great tzaddikis, and she was also to have 7 sons who served as Kohen Gadol. So, because of his large hands, so he actually had 4 kabin worth of the Melo Chofnav incense. And nevertheless, he did it in his left hand, even though that's larger than the right hand. Now, some are not goris. The next words will be goris then, and we'll explain with or without them. Zuchama v'zutzonenes. The reasoning over here is understood by some of the mafarshim. Is it's not only a question of heaviness; it's a question of heat. It's much harder to hold something that's hot in your left hand than it is to hold it in your stronger right hand. So again, the hot coals, it's preferable to go and put them in your right hand than having the colder incense, better to put that in your left hand. Again, remember, according to one opinion of Niyashtik, it was an insulation. Remember, we had 3 opinions what this Niyashtik was. It was a bell, so you shouldn't go into the Kodesh without making noise, or that it was a cover, so the coals would retain their heat and protect the Kohen Gadol from not getting burned from it. And the other one was, since it's metal, the utensil is gold, the heat would go quickly up the arm of the handle and would burn the coin. So they insulated it in some way, and they attached it so it wouldn't be a chatzitza. In any event, the hotter item, it's better to hold in your right hand, and the colder item, you put in your left hand. Now, some are not gorious over here, zuchama v'zutzonenes, and they just say, no, it has to do with the weight. It's purely a question of weight. We're not gorious over here, chama and sonenes. It has nothing to do with carrying. It just purely is a question of weight. Kesef Mishnah asks an interesting question. How are you allowed to do an avodah with the left hand? After all, it's possible if you do an avodah with your left hand. If you do the Kabbalah with your left hand, it's no good. So he gives a teretz over here, and he says that avodah small is only psula midirabanan, and therefore, in a situation of e'efshu where there's no choice, the rabbis never instituted this psula of the left hand midirabanan. Alternatively, he says even if you want to say that the psula of small using the left hand is midaraisa, nevertheless, if you have a situation of e'efshu b'inyanachem, if there is no alternative way, so then the Torah is telling us, in this situation, use the left hand. In other words, you're carrying something in the right hand, and you need to carry something else, and you can't put it in your right hand, so then you're allowed to put it in the left hand. Okay, the Gemara continues and tells us, who was this Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis? So Amar Lo Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, one of the Kohanim Gedolim in the second base of Mikdash, he was able to hold 4 kabins worth of incense in his large hands. He had very, very large hands. He could palm a basketball very, very easily in his stomach. He had large hands that could hold 4 kavin worth of incense. And Vomer, and he said, as to explain why he was such a large physical person, he says, "Kol noshim zerdu v'zered imo olo lagag." All women have zered, zordu. We'll see in a moment what that means. However, the zered of my mother, his holy mother, Kimchis, which she was a great tzaddikus, and we'll have a story about her in a moment, so hers went up to the top. In other words, because of the holiness of his mother and the zered of his mother, which we'll see was also with his father, so he was zocha to become the Kohen Gadol and to have such large hands. What exactly does this word zored mean? Iko di amrin ba'arson. There are those that say it has to do with arson. Rashi explains that arson is a certain type of grain, and it says that it's very good for yavuhu lechole. It's very good for sick people, and stam noshim ubaros cholos. A pregnant woman is by definition going to benefit from eating this arson, and when she eats it, she's going to get healthier. And he brings down Gemara from both brachos, as well as in the Masoros Shas, it tells us it should be moed katan too, where it says that chilka chite, the chilka of chite is broken up into two pieces, into tre. Targis or trigis, which is try, is broken up with plus. And zorid is like grits, or that are broken up arba arba into 4 pieces. And arson is broken up l'chomish chomish into 5 pieces. And this is what the Gemara in Brachos in Moed Katan is telling us. Kol hanashim ubaros tiknulam zorid. The arson, that pregnant women, it was recommended to stay healthy and have a good pregnancy, that they should have this zorid and arson. And the purpose of eating this would be lahavros or son, to keep the women healthy, va'ubrim, and to make the fetuses inside of them healthy as well. And he says, my mother, va'osan shalimi gavra kulu. She was especially careful about this, and she did this very, very well, and as a result, I was zocha to be as healthy as I am. And that's what it says. But the Rabbi Bar Yonason, the Gemara continues and explains this, like Rabbi Bar Yonason said, the Rabbi Bar Yonason, Amar Rabbi Yechiel, he said, Rabbi Yechiel, arson yofel lechola, as we just pointed out from Rashi, this is where he got it from, that this eating of this arson, as well as the zorid, these 4 and 5 component parts of the grits, so that's very healthy for a sick person, like a pregnant woman, and therefore, that's what he attributed his health to. Alternatively, Ika di Amre, others say that Zorid means b'shechva zera. It's dealing with zera, with the semen of the father. Uchad Rabbi Avo. And this goes in accord with what Rabbi Avo said. What did he say? The Rabbi Avo Rami. Rabbi Avo said there seems to be a contradiction between 2 psukim, one from Shmuel Beis and one from Tehillim, which seem to use the same words, but they're spelled a little bit differently. The Rabbi Avo Rami said, Kisiv, it says in Shmuel Beis, v'tazreni chayil lamilchamah. Now the word v'tazreni is spelled without an aleph there. It means you made me strong, you girded me for battle. And it says in Tehillim, Uksiv, now the Gersa that we have is Hama Azreini, but it really should be Bate Azreini Chayel Amilchoma. It says the same Lashon there, but it spells the word Bate Azreini with an Aleph. So how come in Tehillim it spells with an Aleph, and in Shmuel Beis it doesn't? So the Gemara says, what's the Chiddush over here? Amar David, look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Zeri Sani V'Zeras Tani. Let me have the benefits of both over here. The girding, which is the Lashon of Vatazreni, spelled with an Aleph, but also I should have the winnowing benefit. That's without the Aleph. Tazreni is from Zoreh, and that means winnowing. And therefore, you should winnow the Zerah, so only the best Zerah should come to my children. In other words, this is the Lashon that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimcha said, that my mother had the best Zerah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked the best sperm to come out of all the millions of sperm that could have come and impregnated his mother. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected, he winnowed out the best sperm. That's the Lashon over here of Zerdu, Kol HaNoshim Zerdu. All the women have a selection process. Only one sperm will fertilize the egg. But Ima Olo Lagak, his mother was zocheh to have the best sperm. V'Zered Ima Olo Lagak. Fine, a little bit more about this, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Amar Lo Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. It said about this Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, that one time, Pamachas, now Rashi tells us this was on Yom Kippur itself, Siper Dvarim Arvi Echod Bashuk. He was speaking with a certain Arab person in the marketplace. Now, why would he do this? It's the middle of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So the Mefarshim should bring down the Miri and others. They tell us that he had very important business for the importance of Klai Yisrael that allowed him, and he had to go and leave the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, in the Yerushalmi, it tells us that he was speaking with the king. In any event, he was dealing with this Arab person on Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi also has a girsa that it was on Erev Yom Kippur, and it wasn't Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, but it was Rabbi Shimon ben Kimchis, another one of her sons. In any event, we'll just continue the story in our Gemara. He was speaking with this certain Arabi, the Nitze Tzinora Mipiv al Begoda. And a little saliva, a little spittle, Rashi says Tzinora means roke, came and landed on his begodim. Now, the roke of Ove Kochodim is, by definition, going to be Metame. So therefore, he was no longer eligible to be the Kohen Gadol. So they put the Skan Kohen Gadol. Who was the Skan Kohen Gadol? His brother. The Nichnas Yesheva of Ochiv. His brother Yesheva was the Skan Kohen Gadol. The Shimesh Tachta. And he took over the Avoda. So his mother, Kimchis, both of their mothers, Kimchis, saw Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yesheva, his brother, both working as Kohen Gadol on the same day. On the same day, she was offered to have two of her sons function as Kohen Gadol. First, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, or Rabbi Shimon ben Kimchis, depending on the different girsos, was the Kohen Gadol until he became Tomei with the Tzinora of this Arabi, and then the brother, Yesheva, took over. Now, the Tosus Yishonim points out that since we're being Meshabeach, this Kimchis in this fashion, as we'll see in a moment, while she says it's Sadekis, obviously, a person, a woman, could have multiple children becoming the Kohen Gadol because her children died. So here, with Badafka saying that she saw all of her children, seven of her children, become Kohanim Gedolim, but not because they died and they had to be replaced, but because a psul happened, the temporary thing, Nishkefelach, and therefore the other children also got a chance to be Kohen Gadol. Similarly, another story, another time it happened, Rishon Kimchis, Pamachas, again on Yom Kippur, some suggest Erev Yom Kippur, Yotzev Siper, Madon, Echa B'Shuk. He again had to speak to a very important person in the Shuk, he had to leave the Beis HaMikdash, either on Erev Yom Kippur or on Yom Kippur. The Nitzot Tzinor Mipiv HaBegodim, the same exact thing happened, that a little spittle, a little roke came out, and Midr Rabbanim, that's Matamiyim, and he came through the Avoda, and therefore the Skan Kohen Gadol was his other brother, Yosef. V'nichnas Yosef. Now, the word im is probably inappropriate here, so it's in parentheses. And his brother Yosef, who was the Skan Kohen Gadol, took over. And again, Kimchis saw Shnei Kohanim Gedolim b'yom echad, two of her sons functioned as the Kohen Gadol on the same day. Similarly, it tells us in the following braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva Banim, Hayula l'Kimchis. Kimchis had seven sons. L'chulon shimshu l'chulon gedola. And all of them were at some point in time zochah to be the Kohen Gadol. As again, I pointed out from Tosfos Yerushalmi, not because anybody died, but because of just a psul happening. And Amru lo Chachamim, the Chachamim were astounded by this, and they said to him, "Wow, me osis shazochis lekach." As we find many times in the Gemara, they would ask a great Rebbe, they would ask a Talmud Chacham, "Mezochis lekach, what did you do that you can attribute? What zochus? What?" Special aspect that you did to your tribute. We have this Bamer after Yomim, the old Gemara in Megillah that tells us to what you attribute your long life to. And each of the great Tanoim said, "I attributed to this, I attributed to that, I attributed to this." So they asked Kimchis, "Knew what do you attribute the fact that you were Zolcha to having seven of your sons be the Kohen Gadol?" So she told him, "Amr Lahem, Miyomai." She felt that it was because of this. In entire life, Miyomai, all my days, Lo Ro Kores Besi Kali Sori. I was very, very careful to keep my head covered, my hair covered, even in the house. Now, the din is that a woman is allowed to keep her hair uncovered in her house. However, she was so tzanua, she was so careful in this aspect of tzniyas, that even in her house, she left her sheitel on, she left her tichel on, she left her hair covered. So even the beams of her house didn't see her uncovered hair. And she attributed this great zehirus and tzniyas to the fact that she was able to have seven children become the Kohen Gadol. However, the Chacham said back to Amulah, not necessarily so. Harbi Asuke. There are many other women that were tzenua like you. However, below Ilu, they didn't have this. So it must be some other aspect that Chacham felt, maybe a combination of her tzniyas, as well as other zechusim that she did, because apparently she wasn't the only one that was so tzenua, but certainly her being so tzenua, certainly it could be partially, if not totally, attributed to the fact that she was offered to have seven sons who were Kohanim Gedolim. Now, a couple quick points. And Tosfos Yerushalmi pointed out that she didn't keep her hair covered when she was in the shower. She didn't keep her hair covered when she was combing her hair. So obviously, it's only whenever she could keep it covered that she kept it covered. This was an aspect of tznius. That's what the Tosfos Yerushalmi says. The Meiri adds, and he says that this is a description over here that her hair was never seen the beams of her house. It's again to exemplify her tremendous tznius that she had. And Rabbeinu Eliakim adds further, and he says that she never uncovered her hair unless it was in a makom tsunua. It wasn't only in her houses, but any place that she went, she wouldn't keep her hair uncovered. Again, even if it was halachically allowed to. The Yerushalmi has further here, and it says, the famous pasuk in Tehillim, kol kvud bas melech penima, mi mishbitzos zahav levusha. So this means that the great kavod for a Jewish woman is internal, is private, and it's greater than even mishbisos zahav levusha. What does that mean? Inisha tsnua, a woman who is a very tsnua dika woman, her kavod is inside, not outside. So zoche v'yotze mimena kohen gadol, who is wearing the choshen mishpat and the ephod, mishbisos zahav. That's what Rashi says on the pasuk in Tehillim. And that's what the Gemara says in Megillah as well. Kol kala she tznua b'beis chamiya. Every kala that is tznua in the house of her father-in-law, zoche v'yotze mimena malochim u'neviyim. The Miri brings this down and says that a woman who's especially tznua will be zoche to have wonderful children, who'll be kings, and who'll be prophets. Now, with the mention of the Gemara in Megillah, it's a good opportunity for me to let people know that B'ez Hashem, on June 1st, I'll be starting a new Masechta. We just finished Megillah, and we learn Be'iyun every Tuesday night, New York time, 9:15 to 10 a.m. We're going to start Ezra Hashem Maseches Avodah Zarah. People that wish to do this, it's via Zoom. You're welcome to join us. You can email me at aglatmd@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to send you the Zoom information. If you want to start with us, Mitzvah Hashem, not this week, but next week on Tuesday, June 1st, we'll be starting Maseches Avodah Zarah, learning Be'iyun. A little bit slower than the Daf Yomi pace, but in much more depth. Everybody's welcome to join us. Finally, we just add one last thing from the Ben Yoyada. The great Ben Yoyada says over here, how come the other women who did this were not zoche to having Kohanim Gedolim like Kilchis was? After all, if she felt that it was her tznias, and even if the Chacham felt it may have been something else plus her tznias, nevertheless, the tznias should have helped them. How come it didn't? So the Ben Yoyada says that the other women did it, kidei laharviach dover yakar. They did their tznias for an ulterior motive, that they should have b'neihem kohan gedolim, and therefore they weren't successful. But she did it purely out of tznias. She didn't do it with an ulterior motive. And that's why she was zocha to have all of this, since he did it l'shem shamayim, she was zocha to have children that would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shem shamayim. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, we learn the Valei Braisa, b'kumtso. We're going to make comparisons between the kometz the Kohen had to take off from a mincha. When a Yisrael brought a mincha, so you took off the kometz, a handful, and you put that into a klisharis, and you sacrificed that on the Mizbeach, and the Shraim, the rest of the Kohen mincha, was able to be eaten by the Kohanim. As an aside, when a Kohen brought a mincha, it was totally put on the Mizbeach, there was no kometz. And there's the chafina, as we mentioned, the below chafina that the Kohen God took from the incense for the burning of the Ketoris of Nidal of Nim. So we're going to make certain comparisons between the kumtso, the kometz, and the chafina. So we start off with the Braisa Bekumtso. The Pasuk tells us Bekumtso. Ve'rim mimenu Bekumtso misolas ha-mincho u'mishamna. So the Kohen has to go take off the kometz from a korban mincha. And it says, shlo yase mida l'kometz. You don't go and take a measure. You have a standardized measure that will be the kometz. No, but you have to physically do it with your hands. Similarly, the Gemara questions, what about the Kohen Gadol? Can the Kohen Gadol use a measure for the Chafina, or does he have to literally do it Malo Chofna? So Gemara says, by the Kometz, it says you have to use his handful. So therefore, by the Kometz, it clearly has to be without a Kli. It doesn't say Chofna. Nov, it says melochofnov. El melochofnov ketoris amin dakar. So maybe you can use a measure. Lo, this requirement that it has to be with the hands bedavka is not necessarily so. You figure out it's tukizaisim, tukibaitsim, whatever the shear is, and you can use this measure to go take it out. Or alternatively, do we learn it out? Odilma yolif melo melo mikumtso. There's another pasuk that says that the Kohen has to go and take Milo Kumtso Mimenu. So maybe the Gzeir Shav over here is from Milo, Milo, and not just a regular analogy where it says Bekumtso. So Milo Chofnov could be even with a Mida. So what's the answer? The Gemara says, Toshma, I'll show you. It says in our Mishnah, now we understand the words, why it says V'kachayo Midasa. This is the measure. In other words, my lav shimrotza lasos mida. Now we delete the word acheres. It's inappropriate. My lav shimrotza lasos mida ose. That if you want to take a mida, you could take a mida. The word acheres doesn't apply here, and the Bach deletes it. So seems to suggest that it's not a Xerishavu below below. It's comparison to the Kumtso. But by the Kumtso, it says Kumtso. And by the Chafina, it doesn't say Bedavka Chafnov. It says Melo Chafnov. And therefore, measure should be good. One says, no, that's wrong. Lo. Hachi Kamai. What it means here is, in our Mishnah, V'kacha Yechozer V'chofno Lufnim. So he has to take the first Melo Chofnov, he puts it into the ladle, into the calf, and then he brings the calf inside the Beis HaMikdash. And he can't just pour from the calf onto the incense, he has to go pour from the calf back into his hands. As we'll see, this is a very difficult avoda to do this. And because he has to hold the calf, and at the same time pour it into both of his hands. So it's a difficult avoda to physically do, and therefore, you can't learn out from our Mishnah that he could take a midah. Where it says, if this is true, Shamas Minad, then we can learn from our Mishnah the answer to a question that we're going to have later on. Chofein v'chofein. Later on, we're going to have a question. Gemara on Daf Mem Tes is going to ask in a couple of days, does he have to go and take from the ladle, the kath, and pour it back into his hands or not? And our Mishnah seems to ask and answer that question. Shamas Minad, chofer v'chozer v'chofein. So where it says, love Dafka. Dilma, no. From our Mishnah, you can learn it both ways. Dilma, Shin Ratzel Asos Mida Ose. You can learn from our Mishnah that if he wishes to, he could still make a Mida. I, Inami, Shlo Yechasev, Shlo Yosef. Or you can learn out from our Mishnah that it means that you just can't have more or less. You have to be exact Melo Chofdav. You shouldn't have more, you shouldn't have less. But you can't necessarily answer each of these two suggestions that we just made. Could go according to the Man D'Yom, and it says you have to go pour it back into your hands, or that it means, no, you don't have to pour it back into your hands, but it means that you can't take more or less. You have to have an exact measure. So therefore, there's no raya from our Mishnah to answer the Yiboy that we're going to ask on Daf Mem Tes. Now the Gemara says another Brayis, so Tana Rabbanon, it says Melo Kumtso. When a kohen does the kmitza, he has to do Melo Kumtso. This was the Gzei Rishava that we just said, Melo Kumtso, and Melo Chofnav, Melo Melo, to the Chafina process. So the Brisa tells us, Yochol Mevorotz, you might think that you can have an overflowing amount of the kometz. In other words, when you put your hand into the mincha offering, you can just take up an overflowing amount in your hand, and that's good. No, Tamalomer, it has to be kumtso. It has to be an exact amount. It can't be underfilled, it can't be overfilled. Aye, then why not just tell me kumtso? Ib kumtso, if it had just said kumtso without the word malo kumtso, yochal afilu barashi etzbi osav, I might have thought you could take even a very small amount. As we'll see, I might as well mention it now, the way to properly do the kometz is you stick your hand in, you keep your hand in a vertical position. In other words, your palm and the back of your palm are standing up straight, so to say, and your fingers are all in a vertical position. Your pinky at the bottom, then your ring finger, then your middle finger, then your index finger, they're all standing one on top of the other, and you push that down into the flour offering until you get it all the way, your hand is all the way in there, that you can close your fingers around the flour, and then you'll pull it out. And with your thumb, you wipe off the top, with your pinky, you wipe off the bottom, and that's the proper way to do a kometz. Less other ways to do this in a moment. In any event, if you just said kumtso, I would have thought that maybe you don't have to dig it in so deep. You just have to dig a little bit in your tips of your finger and not have the fingers all the way come around up until almost your palm and your wrist of your hand to get a larger size kometz. So if you just said kumtso, yochal afilu barashi etzbeosav would be enough just to get the tips of your fingers. And some of the flesh would bring down that in fact you might have thought that that's preferred to use a smaller amount. The Madaik and Lashon of Rashi over here that you bedavka should take a very small amount. Rabbeinu Yochum says shakomitz b'ofer shel yagia komitz l'pasio, although you specifically don't want the fingers to reach all the way up to your palm. And the Karben Aaron explains this, that the word says veirim mimenu bikumtso elsewhere is mashma shiorim bekomitz yodo ma'at min hamincha. So that might have actually been preferable, you might have thought, to take a smaller amount of kmitza, and therefore, Talmud Lomer, it tells us malo kumtso. No, don't think that. Take a full handful with the kmitza, kidekomse inshi, like people normally do it, which is what I just said. How is that? Halketzad? Chofe shalosh etzbiosov al pisas yodo v'komets. You stick your hand in vertically into the flour. So, again, your pinky is underneath your ring finger, which is underneath your middle finger, which is underneath your pointer finger, and you put that directly down into it, and then you come around and grab a full handful of the solace, the flour that is contained now within your coming around with your fingers all the way up to the top of your palm, and in this way, you get the three fingers worth, because the thumb is never included in this. You wipe off from the top with the thumb, and you wipe off from the pinky on the bottom, as we'll see in a moment, as we turn to Mem Zayin Omid Beis, and this is called Melo Kumtso. Now, this is great if you're dealing with a nice, easy flour offering that has loose flour. What happens with the Machavas or the Machashes when you're dealing with Mincha offerings? There are many different types of Mincha offerings, 9 different types of Mincha offerings. So when you're dealing with a Machavas, which is a flat, like frying pan, or a Machashes, which is more like a pot, and it's deep fried. And in this situation, you're not dealing with flour, you're dealing with cooked or fried type of Mincha offering, which is hard. So then, mochek begudlo, you take the top with your thumb and you scrape off, you break off any of the mincha that's above that and then put that back into the mincha that's not considered part of the kometz. And likewise in the bottom, you do the mochek begudlo milamala, ubi etzbal kitana milamata, and you do from the pinky at the bottom to literally break away these frying pan or pot made mincha offerings, which are hard. And in fact, this was very difficult to do. Try to break a matzah with just your thumb or with your pinky. So v'zuhi avoda kosher b'mikdash. This was the most difficult avoda to do in the mikdash. The more questions is, it says zuhi v'zuhi lo. Is this the only one? We'll find in 3 places at least where it says this is the most difficult avoda in the base of mikdash. Va'ika malika. It says by the malika. Malika is the way that a kohen goes and shechs a bird, a Torah or Ben Yonah, for the korban. He doesn't shecht it from the front with a knife, but he shechts it from the back of the neck with his right thumbnail. And this was a very difficult physical thing to do. So that's called, this is one of the most difficult avodas in the Beis HaMikdash, to do malika. Now, why is it so difficult? It's not just that you're pressing with your thumbnail. Some suggest that you're actually holding the bird with one hand. You have to hold the bird in your right hand. If you're holding the bird in your left hand, so then we can understand why it's not as difficult to go and then pierce the back. It's still hard, but we can understand it's doable. But if you have to hold the bird in your right hand, so you're holding the bird with 4 of your fingers in your palm, and then you have to somehow do malika with your thumb, your right thumb, that's a very difficult avoda. So therefore, it says there, zuhi avoda kosher b'mikdash. And likewise, by the chafina, our chafina, the Kohen Gadol, it says that's also one of the most difficult avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. So how can you tell me that the breaking of this fried machavas or macheshes mincha is the most difficult avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? So one says, you're right, all 3 of them are the most difficult avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a category. Ela zuhi me'avodos kosher shebimikdash. This is one of the most difficult types of avodas to have in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the only one. There are at least 3 that are mentioned over here that are very difficult avodas to do. The breaking of a machavas or macheshes korban mincha, the chafina of the Kohen Gadol, and the malika that a kohen does on a tor or a ben yonah when he brings it as an olas ha'of or as a chatas ha'of. Fine, very good. Mark continues, says, Amar Yochanan. Amar Yochanan says, now the gear that we have is a boy, Yehoshua ben Uzzah. The Bach changes this around and says the gear should be Rabbi Yehoshua Uzzah. In any event, whoever this great Talmud Chacham was, he asked the following shaila. Amar Yochanan says that he asked this shaila. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Uzzah, or Rabbi Yeshua Uzzah, or Yehoshua ben Uzzah, whoever it was, he asked this shaila. Bein habinayim, in between the fingers, shamlo kumso, when you're doing the komets, so you have flour or mincha trapped in between the fingers, in between the ring finger and the middle finger, or between the middle finger and the pointed finger, what is the status? Is that komets, or is that shrayim? Bein habinayim, shamlo kumso, maho, is it considered komets, or is it considered shirayim? Komets is sacrificed on the mikdash. Shirayim is eaten by the kohanim. So I'm a rapapa. Rapapa says, the gavoi loti boiloch. That which is on the inside of the hand, it's somewhat stuck between the fingers, but it's clearly visible inside the hands, davade kometsu. That certainly is komets. That wasn't the shayla. And the broi, that was on the back of the hand, where it's still in between the fingers, but it's visible. So the broi loti boiloch also, that is definitely shirayim. Davade shirayim. The question that Yehoshua ben Uzzah, or Rabbi Yehoshua Uzzah, was asking is, kikti boiloch, the baini, the stuff that's literally in between the fingers that you can't see on the inside, you can't see on the outside. My, is that shrayim or is that komets? So Yochanan continues and he says, Hadar Pashta Rabbi Yeshua Uzzah or Yehoshua ben Uzzah, he himself answered the question and he said, Bein habeinayim sofik minu. He says, there is no answer. He couldn't find any answer and therefore it's like Bein HaShmashos. It's a sofik situation and we don't know what to do with it. And therefore you have to treat it as a sofik. And therefore, hechi avin. So, what do you do? You got to do something. So, Amar Bichanina, Bichanina says, this is the best teretz. Makdir komets l'chudeh. The stuff that is vadei komets, the stuff that is inside, that was definitely komets, you first bring that into the klei sharis, and you put that on the mizbeach, tchila. And this way, you're makdir the komets. absolutely good. And then afterwards, Vahadar, after that, you take the Bein HaBinayim, this stuff that's in between the fingers, and you go bring that on the Mizbeach, and you mock to that separately. Because he says you can't do it first, and you can't do it together. Because the Amr is Bein HaBinayim B'Reisha, if you have to do this first, so then Dilma Shrayim Ninu, then maybe it actually was Shrayim, and then you have a problem. If you don't have all of the Shrayim, you're not allowed to be mocked to the Kometz. Because the din is, Babalu Shrayim Shechoshu Bein Kmitza Laktara, if between the Kmitza and the actual placement of the Kmitza on the Mizbeach, the Haktara Sakmitza, you were to lose any of the Shrayim, we learned previously, the Amar Mar, Shirayim Shechosu Bein Kmitza Laktara, in Naktirin Alein is a Kometz. You're not allowed to go and bring that Kometz. You have to have an intact Shrayim. So if you were to take this Bein HaBinayim and sacrifice it first, well, maybe it really was Shrayim. And therefore, it wouldn't be acceptable to go and then do the rest of the Kometz. So therefore, you certainly can't do the Bein HaBinayim first. And that's why you do it afterwards. Mor says, Ihochi Hashtanami. So wait a second. So if you're doing it afterwards, you have another problem. Ikre Khan, we have over here a problem, Kol Shemimenu Lo'ishim, Harehu Baval Taktiru, something which is placed on the Mizbeach, so any Shrayim of that is not allowed to be placed on the Mizbeach. So when you have the Kometz, only the Kometz can be put on the Mizbeach, but not the Shrayim. So here, maybe this is Shrayim, and you're putting the Bein HaBinayim Shrayim on the Mizbeach, and you're over a lav of Kol Shemimenu Lo'ishim, Harehu Baval Taktiru, you're not allowed to go put the Shrayim on the Mizbeach. So we manashok, you got a problem. If it's kometz, it has to be on the mizbeach. If it's not kometz, it's not allowed to be on the mizbeach. So we got a problem. Some of you, the Berei, the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, so Rabbi Yehuda, who is the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, says, no, you follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Demak delei l'shum eitzim ki Rabbi Eliezer. You go and sacrifice this Bein HaBinayim, Shrayim, possible kometz, possible Shrayim, as if it was firewood. Because firewood you're allowed to put up on the mizbeach, not l'shem karbon, you're putting it up l'shem firewood. And therefore, you say over here as follows, the Tanya, like Rabbi Eliezer taught us, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Now this was a machlokes when you had the limbs of a chatas, which were eaten by the Kohanim, they got mixed up with the limbs of an ola, which is kolil toktar, which is put up on the mizbeach. They got mixed together, so what should you do? So Rabbi Eliezer says, l'reach l'nchoach yito amala. You're not allowed to go bring it up on the mizbeach as a karbon, because if it was a chatos, it's not allowed to be on the mizbeach. And then you have the problem, kol shemen olishim or yibuval taktiru. The sacrificial fats of the chatos go on the mizbeach, but the limbs do not. So therefore, you'd not be allowed to put it up on the mizbeach as a sacrifice. Aye, but what are you going to do over here? If you can't put up the ola, you can't put up the chatos, it's going to go that you're not doing the avodah properly. So he says, mimonoshach, avalata malal shun eitzim. So put all those limbs of the mixture of chatos and ola on the mizbeach with the following caveat. You say, anything that really is an ola, I'm putting up here l'shem ola. And anything that's a chatas, I'm putting up here l'shem firewood. And l'shem firewood is not a problem of bal taktiru. So too over here, Rabbi Yehuda Berei, the Rishon Pazi says the same thing. This Bein HaBinayim. You say, if it's really kometz, I'm putting it up on the mizbeach as kometz. But if it's not kometz, then I'm putting it up on the mizbeach l'shem eitzim as firewood. So Gemara says, great, you solved the problem according to Das Yochid, to Rabbi Eliezer. Hanich Rabbi Eliezer. But the Rabbanan didn't disagree with the Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbanan argued with the Rabbi Eliezer in that situation and said, you're not allowed to go put it up as firewood. But sorry, you have limbs of an ola that should go up in the Mizbeach, you have limbs of a chatas that should not, so you can't put it up there. So according to the Chachamim, that you don't put it up there, what would you do with the Bein HaBinayim? El Rabbanan, Ma'ik LeMeimar. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Mari, you know what you do? The Kamsei Shmeini. You go get robust Kohanim. You go get Shmeina Kohanim. Kohanim that have fat fingers. And therefore, the fingers overlap, and there is no Bein HaBinayim. They basically seal off the Bein HaBinayim. So the only Kohanim that are allowed to go and do a Kmitza are Shmeina Kohanim. Obese Kohanim that have a lot of flesh in between the fingers, so there's nothing that will go in between the fingers, because there's flesh over there blocking any Kometz from going in between the fingers, any of the flour or the mincha offering going in between the fingers and being a shaila. Is it kometz or is it shrayim? Oh, boy says, once you give me this teretz, hashla diosus lahochi, so now, Rabbi Eliezer nami lechachila, the kometzei shmeini. So Rabbi Eliezer could also say, you don't have to rely upon my bidyevet that you put it up with shum eitzim. He would also say, lechachila, only use shmeina kohanim, only use kohanim that have fat fingers. The Yaivitz brings down an unbelievable din from this. He says that the kometzah, if it was the responsibility of a thin Kohen to do the Kmitzah, he had to give it over. He says, this is Allah l'maisa, that a thin Kohen couldn't do the Kmitzah because you'd have the problem of the Bein HaBinayim, and you had to give it over to a Shemena Kohen. And this is brought down as well in the Likutei Halachos L'Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim had a kollel that learned Kachim because he was a Kohen himself, and he was hopeful and fully expecting the base of Midrash to be rebuilt in his life, and every Midrash rebuilt in all lives, and therefore he learned a lot of these dinim. Now the Rambam, however, does not bring this din down at all about the Bein HaBinayim, and Lo Kosav Shedafka Kohen Shomim Tzorech L'Kvot. He doesn't say that you have to have a Shemena Kohen go and do this, because he holds, not like this din of Yehoshua Uzar, Rabbi Yeshua Uzar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzar. He holds like Rapapa, who we're going to learn in a moment, a whole series of questions that Rapapa asked, and he says that the Kmitza should be done, the Kikansa Inshe, like people normally do it, and that doesn't mean necessarily only Shmeina people doing it. In any event, now we go through a number of questions that Rapapa is going to ask. It's going to take us through all of tomorrow's share, the rest of today's share, and all of tomorrow's share, and even a little bit of the next day's share. And we have a starting off with a simon over here, Bein HaBeinayim, Poshat. Now the Gersa that we have is Mochak, but it's brought down in the Sefer Ginza Yosef that this is a mistake over here in the simon, and it should be Umochak. He says that the mistake was made because it starts off in a number of situations, Bepshitole, and that's why the mnemonic was mistakenly put in there, Umochatz. In any event, we'll read the mnemonic. It's always a school to read the mnemonic. So Bein HaBeinayim, Poshat, Umochatz, Upizer, or Umochak, Upizer, V'chishev, V'chofnis, Chaveirov, Simon. Fine, that's the Simon. Now we'll ask each of these as the Rashi Tavros for a question that Rapapa asked. By Rapapa, the first question Rapapa asks is as follows. Bein HaBeinayim Shomlo Chofnov Mau. We were learning now the halachas of Bein HaBeinayim for the Kometz. So what is the halacha in regards to the Chafina that the Kohen Gadol has to do? What is the status of the Melo Chofnov Bein HaBeinayim? So Mary asks, Michael Mabayle, what was Rapapa's question? If you learn that the Gzeir Shava, comparing the Kometz and the Melo Chofnov, like we just did a moment ago, is one of the Terutzim, so then it's the same thing. Whatever the din is by the Kometz, the same thing will be by the Chafina. So what really is Rapapa asking? Shmuel says, no. Rapapa Hochi Boyle. This is Rapapa's question. He said as follows. When the Pasuk tells us by the Kohen Gadol, Umelo Chofnov Ketones Samim Dako, and then Devi, Mibes Laparoches, so Baha Ika, it says specifically over here, whatever is in Melo Chofnov, which would include the Bein HaBeinayim, or Dilmor, do we say, V'lokach V'hevi? No, that we look from the beginning of it, which he says, he has to be specifically only what V'lokach, what he took, and only ultimately V'hevi. In other words, as if he's saying that the Torah is requiring him to take just what is in the hand, and not Bein HaBeinayim. And therefore, we have the same question over here, V'hol Leka. Here we don't know whether the Bein HaBeinayim is included or not, and therefore, take it. The Gemara leaves off with Ibaya, the law of Shitole. We don't answer it. Now we ask the next series of questions. Amar Papa Pshitali, it's clear to me the din is Poshut. I know 100% that when it says the words Melo Kumtso, it means Kidikamtse Inche, like the regular way that people do it, which is what we said, that you keep your fingers vertical, your hand is going straight down into the soles, into the flower, or in this situation for the Ketores, and right now we're talking about the Kometz, but you put your hand straight down into the Kometz, and Melo Kumtso means like a person does it, and he puts it all the way, his hand down until it covers up the top of his pointer finger, and then he circles his fingers all the way up to the top of his palm as far as they can go, and everything that's inside of there is considered the Melo Kumtso. That's Pasha, no question about that. And if people want to see diagrams of this, you can look in the Masifta Gemara. They have a lot of wonderful diagrams here, and you can see all of these tsiurim that we're about to discuss in the Masifta diagrams. You can see them on page Mem Zayin Omid Beis, the third Mem Zayin Omid Beis Gimel. In any event, he asked now the following questions. Boy, Rapapa, here was his questions. What about Komat Beroshe Etzbiosa? If you went, Rashi explains, you took Pas Yodo Lamata, you put your palm towards the bottom, the tochav etzbiosov bisoles, and your fingers are stretched out, your whole palm is stretched out there, and your fingers just dig into the soles, the komatz komatz sholem, and you fill it all the way up. Your palm is really just lying on the top of the soles, and your fingers have brought up all of the soles up to the palm. Achimile kol orech pasyodo, until your whole hand is filled. Again, you can see diagrams of this, if you don't understand it, in the Masifta. So that's the first question the Rapapa asked. If you did the Kometz in this fashion, or Mahu, what's the halacha there? Or Milamata, Milamala, you did it the other way around. You put your hand flat into the flower, so your palm is now in the flower, and now your fingers, you go and scoop up with your fingers all of the flour into the palm. Milamato, milamala, Rashi says, shehofach gav yodu lamato, the hand is upside down, v'helo akom it's barashi etzbiosa l'soch pas yodo. So what is the halacha in that situation? Mahu. Furthermore, minat stadim, if you do it from the side, again, you can see this in the Masifta diagrams on the fourth daf mem zayin omud beis, and what you're basically doing over here, Rashi says, is klomar shlo kiderech hakomtzim, not like the regular way the kmitza is done, and the Bach adds the word shegav yodo lemata, but v'lo tochav etzbiosu b'solus ela molich al gav yodo b'dochach v'solus nichnas v'pas yodo derech etzbiosu. You basically push it in down with your palm, and you're filling it up that way passively, and then you close your fingers around it. That's called min hatzad. So again, we ask the same question. Mahu, what's the halacha of this situation? And in all of the situations, the Gemara says, teku, we're left over here without an answer. We don't come to a conclusion. It's another iboy, the lov shita lay. Halacha l'maisa, the Rambam, which passes these halachas, you're not going to find them in Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam says you shouldn't do this, but if you did it, if you already did the Haktorah, so the carbon is good, b'di'evit. Otherwise, you should return it and then do another kmitza. Next question, Omar Papa, he said, again, pshitli, it's clear to me the din is barur, that now we're going to compare the chafina of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur to the komets. When it says, pshitli, melo chofna, kid chofni and shei, we do the same thing. It's like a person does normally the chafina, which is the same way that he keeps his fingers vertical, and he pushes it down into it, and he takes out the melo chofna. Very simple, straightforward, that's the way you should do it. By Rapapa, but now he asks, what happens if you did it any of the three ways that we just said, like by the kmitza, what would be the din by the chafina? Chofon b'roshi etzbiosav mahu. Milmato lamala mahu. Minatzad mahu. If you did any of these three ways that we just said by the kmitza, we left with the teiku, what would be the din by the melo chofnav? And here there's another one. Chofon bezu bezu. Here you take two handfuls. By the kmitza, it's only one handful. What happens if you fill up one handful, and then you fill up the other handful, and then you bring them together? Chofon bezu uvezu. The caravan zu etzel zu. And now you bring them close together. You didn't do all at once. You didn't do separate steps. Mahu, is that acceptable or is that not acceptable? So the Gemara says again over here, take it. We don't come to a conclusion. Gemara continues and says, "By Rapapa, we turn to Memches Amud Aleph. Rapapa has the following shiloh. Dapke lechometz bedofnei demonu mai. If you attach it to the side of the utensil, not in the bottom of the utensil, but it's inside the utensil, but to the side of the utensil. It's like they used to put the bread into the oven. They used to slap it to the side of the oven, not put it into the bottom of the oven. So here, you put the komets into the side of the utensil, the klisharis that you're going to go and bring subsequently and put it on the mizbeach to do the haktoras hakomets. Mai, is this good or not? Do we say, toch kli boin, and it must be inside the kli, v'taka it is, v'ha'ika, and therefore this is good. Or do we say, el dilma, hanocha besocho kesikno boin, v'ha'leka. No, it has to be put into the proper way into the kli, which means to put it at the bottom of the kli, not to the side of the kli, and therefore it's no good. Take it. Again, another boy, the loshitale, we don't have an answer. Two more quick ones. By my Rashi is, afilimona, v'dapkele komets bi'arise demona. You turn the kli upside down. This kli sharis had a kli kibble, a receptacle part on the bottom as well. And therefore, if you put it on the bottom of the kli sharis in a receptacle area within the airspace of the kli, is that considered within the kli or not? Mahu. Do we say, hanocha, besocha, bo'inon, v'ha'ika? It has to be within the kli, and this is within the kli, albeit it's a little bit backwards. Or do we say, oh, Dilma, hanocha kesikno b'ino v'leko? No, it has to be in the right way, and it's not in the right way, and therefore it's no good. Again, Yibayah, the Lov Shitale, is a question we don't have an answer to. Take it. We'll leave it as until Elio comes and gives us the answer. Meher Rebbeinu. Last one, quickly, by Rapapa. Rapapa says, melo chofnav sh'amu. That which you said, it has to be melo chofnav. Is that mechukos? Is that a nice leveled amount? Oh, gedushos, or a heaped up amount. So Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Abul Ravashi. Here we have an answer. Rabbi says to Ravashi, Toshma, we learned in the Braisa, Melo Chofnav Sha'amru, Lo Mechukos, Lo Kedushos, Elo Tefufos. It shouldn't be something that is perfectly leveled off. It shouldn't be something that's heaped up, but it should be something that is Tefufos. Rashi explains Tefufos means Loshon Dovar Tzaf Begova. It floats a little bit on the top. Mat. A little bit. So it's not perfectly leveled off. It's not heaped up to a lot. That is considered Melo Chofnav. With this, we conclude today's shiur.